This is episode 311 of Jumble Think.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to JumbleThink, where we interview dreamers, makers, innovators, and influencers all about their journey of turning dreams and ideas into reality. Along the way, we're going to share some tips on how you can turn your own dreams and ideas into reality too. Our guest on today's show is Chris Hammond. More about Chris in a moment. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime fan, if you've never subscribed to JumbleThink, head on over to your favorite place to listen to podcasts, search for JumbleThink, and click subscribe. To make it even easier, if you head on over to jumblethink.com, you can find links to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and more. Now let's jump into today's conversation. Hey there, welcome to JumbleThink. My name is Michael Woodward. I am your host, and we have a very fun episode lined up for you today. Before we dive into that, we want to thank our friends over at Floxy for sponsoring today's show. Floxy is your source for a monthly subscription to top-notch design, web development, video editing, and more. As a listener of JumbleThink, they're going to give you 10% off your first month. All you have to do is head on over to Floxy, FLOCKSY.com/JumbleThink. That's FLOCKSY.com/JumbleThink to learn more. I am super excited about today's conversation. Our guest is Chris Hammond. He is a talent buyer for AEG Presents Las Vegas and is primarily responsible for booking Encore Theater at Wynn Resorts as well as other venues in Las Vegas. A native to Lexington, Kentucky, he graduated from Duke University in 1995 and embarked on a career in baseball before transitioning to the software business, a move which brought him to Las Vegas in 2000. In 2003, he founded Rock and Roll Wine, a wine event and marketing company primarily focused on promoting wine tastings combined with live concerts. A pioneer in demystification of wine, Hammond also produces his own line of wines out of Sonoma, California under the Amplified Wines label. In 2009, he was a recipient of Las Vegas Inc.'s 40 Under 40 Award for his entrepreneurial accomplishments. Now, I'm super excited about this conversation because I love venues, concert venues, comedy clubs, jazz clubs. I love smaller venues. I love big festivals. I love the technical aspects of it. I love just the enjoyment of the art that you're seeing, whether it's music, comedy, whether it's seeing a live podcast or listening to jazz music. I love it all. The Encore Theater at Wynn Las Vegas is doing really cool stuff. It's a small theater. It's 1,480 seats, and that's a small venue for Las Vegas. They had over 120,000 ticket sales last year, which grossed over $16.2 million. Crazy numbers. So much so that last year, they were able to break into the top 10 Billboard chart for the highest grossing venues worldwide for 2019 with a capacity of under 5,000 people. They're increasing their growth this past year, and they're doing some really cool stuff. They're moving past just musical acts. They're bringing in comedy. They're doing podcasting. And their guests are world-class. Robbie Williams, Sarah McLachlan, Chris Tucker, Steve Miller Band, Smokey Robinson, Lionel Richie. You've got Jim Gaffigan, Diana Ross, Melissa Etheridge, Pat Benatar, Brian McKnight, a lot more. They even have some really cool shows coming up. Later this week, they have Harry Connick Jr. coming up February 26th, 28th, and 29th. Then they have Dwight Yoakam coming on and March 4th, 6th, and 7th. Lionel Richie's coming up March 11th, 13th, and 14th. And then they're bringing back one of their biggest hits, which was Robbie Williams, who's not huge in the U.S., but a global rock star when it comes to what he's doing. And he's going to be doing a longer extended stay there, March 24th through April 4th. Now, I could tell you more about stats and data and information. Instead, let's go ahead and join the conversation with today's guest, Chris Hammond. Our guest today is Chris Hammond, talent buyer for AEG Presents Las Vegas and doing really cool stuff at the Encore Theater at Wynn Las Vegas. Thanks so much for being on.
Thanks for having me.
I'm excited about this conversation because I am a lover of cool spaces and venues. It's something that I love going to shows in cool places. I love seeing great shows. And so you guys are doing that, and I'm excited to chat about that, talk a little bit about how you guys are setting yourself apart differently, and what it means to be a talent buyer. A lot to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the first thing, just to touch on your first point, is the theater in itself. It's inside Wynn Resorts in Las Vegas. It's the Encore Theater, and it's a luxurious, intimate theater at 1,480 seats, but is very versatile. The design is gorgeous, as is everything with Wynn Resorts. Nothing but 5-star. And the acoustics are immaculate, and it's so versatile. And the way it is was designed and built to where you can have a rock show in it one day, and then the next day you can have a stand-up comedian with a microphone and a stool, and it works both ways. It's just as versatile for that as well. So it's something that as a company, AEG, we're very proud to partner with Wynn Resorts and excited that they trusted us to kind of take their crown jewel of a small, intimate theater and make it work for them.
There's a lot to unpack there. The first thing I'm going to talk about and I'm curious about is, you know, you're bringing in big acts. You have Sarah McLachlan in right now. Coming up, you have Harry Connick Jr. That's a show I'd love to see. You have Dwight Yoakam on, Lionel Richie, Robbie Williams. They're all just coming up, and a lot more. These kind of acts, they don't typically do small venues. What's the average size for a venue bringing these kind of acts in?
Well, you know, it depending on which market you're in, you know, one of the niches that we've found that we can do in our partnership with Wynn is bring in acts that you usually see in bigger rooms into a smaller theater. And that's for a couple reasons. One, the Wynn is, you know, a Forbes 5-star property, and everything is nicer there. Everything is a little more upscale there. Mm-hmm. So we can charge a higher ticket price. That's one thing. So we can afford to bring some of these artists in at some points. And the other thing is the artist. The room is beautiful. Mm-hmm. The acoustics are great. And the service and the hospitality they get working with a partner like Wynn Resorts is second to none. So that kind of package has allowed us to find a cool little niche where we can bring in Lionel Richie at 1,400 seats. And you can, you know, if you buy that front row seat, you can sit literally 7-8 feet from him on a piano. You know, we can bring in Robbie Williams, which in the United States is not one of the biggest acts. However, if you go to probably any other country in the world, but specifically UK, South America, Australia, he is not only an arena act, but a stadium act.
Yeah.
So, you know, the guy sells 60,000 tickets a show, but you can see him at 1,400 seats here in the theater. And the cool thing about this theater is he's got a very highly produced, immaculate show. It's beautiful. It's got 8 dancers. It's got, I think, 8 musicians with horns. It's full on, in your face, pyro rock show, and it works in that small theater. And then we have somebody like Sarah McLachlan that's coming in that was in last night, and she's playing Friday and Saturday. She is just her and a grand piano and a cellist.
Wow.
And it works just as well. And that's the beauty of the theater that we're doing. And as we were, you know, kind of playing around with this model and seeing what sets us apart, what differentiates us, we said, you know what, let's maybe, you know, try some stand-up comedy in there.
Yeah.
And we did that for the first time last January and about a year ago. And we brought in Chris Tucker and had no idea how it was going to sell, and went out of the gates pretty decent. And ended up selling out both shows, and watching stand-up comedy in there was like, wow, it was an epiphany. It's like, well, this actually works. And even Chris came off and he said, I love this room. Wow. I absolutely love this room. And he said, it's so cool because you can see the expressions on the people's face in the back row of the mezz.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how intimate the theater is. I mean, the rake of the theater, the pitch of the theater is built so that you're kind of on top of everything. And it's a really personable, intimate space that's versatile.
That's one of the things, as I was doing research and prep for the interview today, that stood out is that 2020, you're really looking at diversifying the kind of acts that you're bringing in, where in past years, you've really thought about, oh, what are the best music acts? Now you're looking at comedy. I even heard you talking on, was it Cheddar, about wanting to do more events that are bringing in podcast kind of events and some other things like that, which I just think that's really cool that you are not staying content and just saying, hey, we could just ride this out, but you're looking at options of how you can diversify the kind of audience you're bringing in, the kind of events that you're doing in this space. Talk to us a little bit about that desire to push into the comedy world and then also see what other possibilities are there and how you're leveraging a killer room to do really cool things.
Correct. And it's a good point. It's no secret that Las Vegas is one of the most challenging markets for an entertainment buyer like myself.
It's a little saturated. There's a lot of stuff there.
There's a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of competitors that have great rooms, that are wonderful producers, that are putting in offers for the same acts.
Wow.
And, you know, a lot of times trying to outbid other acts, depending on who it is. So the competition for getting some of these acts in a room is high, to say the least. So with that said, you know, we sat and figured if we just relied on music alone, one, you know, there are a couple criteria that need to be met. One, the financials need to work out. That's the most important thing. Artist has to want to do it. And we have to pay them enough if they want to do it. But the artist or the act that we bring in has to be approved by the win and be on brand for the win.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that, you know, they, as they should, care very deeply about as their brand.
And it's a luxury high-end brand. It has a prestige.
It has a prestige. And I mean, it's, you know, it's no secret that it's the nicest casino resort in Las Vegas, arguably in the world. I mean, it just got 22 Forbes 5 stars throughout, including their China casino and resorts in Macau as well. But, you know, the resorts here, Encore Resort and Wynn Las Vegas Resort, the two resorts here, I believe between them have 10 Forbes 5 stars that just came out, which is more. They're the largest, let's say, the largest theater. I'm sorry, the largest resort company in the world that has Forbes 5 stars.
Oh, wow.
So it's a pretty big, big recognition for them. And, you know, we're proud to be associated with that. So there is a pretty rigorous, you know, brand approval process that goes through getting those people in. So that was a long way of me getting to of how we said, all right, well, we need to diversify a little bit because competition is high.
Yeah.
Right. They're, you know, we don't just bring in any act, even if they sell out. When we know they're going to sell out, we just don't bring in any act.
Yeah.
And, you know, we want to make sure that it fits the brand. So what do we do next? Stand-up comedy was something, you know, obviously we still push for music. The musicians take a little longer because they need to be comfortable with the room. They do their due diligence. Even new musicians and my boss and that was booking the theater prior to me, you know, started with Diana Ross and John Fogerty in there, and it, you know, it's something that just is the perfect fit for that room. And from the financial standpoint and from just seeing an artist of that caliber in that room, and so we build onto that. You know, now it's Lionel Richie, Bryan Adams. We've had Harry Connick Jr. in there before, bringing him back, but Sarah McLachlan, some of these musicians. And then we're trying to get even a little more current in the sense of not a legacy act, in the sense of, you know, trying to bring in somebody on the younger end of things that, you know, we're working on a couple offers there. Comedy was the next big thing. And, you know, if they're the right comedian, we'll bring them in. Sebastian Maniscalco, we bring in for usually about 8 shows a year. And, you know, Sebastian is somebody that I think he sold out Madison Square Garden 3 times. You know, he sells out just about everywhere. Joe Coy, who is another comedian that's actually from Las Vegas, sells out arenas all over the country as well. But he comes and you can see him play in this or seen perform in this this small theater. And we really kind of hit a hit something special there. And Robbie Williams is the biggest thing, especially for the fans in the UK or the expats here, to see Robbie Williams, if you're a fan of his and know how big he is around the world, and to be able to come to Las Vegas, come to the Wynn, and see his amazing performance in a 1400 seat theater, that's a special experience. So comedy, but still with comedy, we add that, we still have the music, and now we're still looking at more things. You know, as I was doing some research, I'm like, you know, some of these podcasts, they amazingly sell hard tickets, and people are just absolutely so passionate about them that it's something that said, wow, that's a vertical.
Yeah.
And another revenue stream that I didn't even know really was, you know, existed or could, and there's no better room than this one for that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a soft seat theater and it's perfect. So we haven't confirmed any yet, but I'm actively, aggressively looking at some, and we've got offers out. So hopefully in 2020, we'll have our first podcast in the theater. You know, another thing we're looking at is really, you know, almost like a speaker series. And I know it doesn't sound very Las Vegas and very party-ish, but it's about utilizing that room and maximizing the revenue that can come out of that room. Well, Wynn is a, you know, an elegant, upscale, highbrow, for lack of a better word, resort.
Yeah.
So you can do a speaker series.
Yeah.
You know, could we do something that typically plays at a performing arts center, a PAC, you know, a speaker series? Well, why don't we try that at the Wynn? You know, it's 5-star luxury. A lot of smart people stay there. A lot of people like to educate themselves, stay there. I mean, there's nothing that could be more robust and educational and fun and entertaining as a speaker series. So that's something that kind of a little pet project of mine that's in its infancy right now, but trying to put it on the fast track to just continue to add more programming to that theater. You know, I think we set this up by, you know, we came out with, you know, Billboard came out with their rankings of the top 10 grossing theaters in the world last year, under 5,000 capacity. And we were number 10 and we're only at 1,480 seats. You know, that's something, you know, Billboard doesn't publish this list, but all you gotta do is look at the data. I mean, we're the highest grossing in the world under 2,000 seats.
Yeah. Which is pretty impressive, because it seems like the bigger stars are wanting to always be in arenas and do stadium tours. And yet there is this space where it completely can work. And I love that you guys are getting the due that you deserve for putting in the work, creating great shows in a killer room. There are some people that are going to look at the ticket price and say $135 starting, and they're going to go, oh, that seems high. I think it's a fair price for a show that you want to see. Of course, that's going to be in the eye of the beholder. But what you bring to the table, you can't get in an arena. You can't get in a stadium. It's an intimacy, a closeness, a proximity. What are some of the things that the people that come to these shows, what is the feedback you get when they get to experience maybe their dream concert, the artist they've always wanted to see in a space like yours?
But, you know, I think you hit it on the head. It's the fact that they're up close and intimate. It's almost like they're, you know, the feedback I'm getting is that they're addressing them. They're singing to them. They're talking to them. It's something that you truly have to experience in that theater. I mean, when we had Lionel Richie in there last year for the first time, it's just amazing. I'm like, wow, this is pretty amazing, because I've seen Lionel several times and it wasn't like this. You know, I mean, the first row, you walk 2 feet, 3 feet, and you're touching the edge of the stage.
Right.
Lionel's 3 feet from there. I mean, it's not something where there's a big barricade and then there's security guards in front of the barricade. I mean, it is something that's, you know, this almost an intimacy and a private club like atmosphere that, you know, it's like, okay, I know how to, you know, actually behave in this setting, because I'm actually thrilled to be this close to Lionel Richie.
Yeah.
Same goes for Robbie Williams. Man, I've seen some rabid fans. They love Robbie Williams.
Yes.
And you know, it's funny. I know about him being in the business, but I'd never seen him live.
Yeah.
And talk about a true entertainer.
Yeah.
They always say the it factor, or yeah. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. He steps on that stage and you just can't take your eyes off of him.
He has the electricity of like a Freddie Mercury or something, someone like that.
The electricity, the banter and the wit, and granted, I like me some British humor, but just the interaction with the fans and the cheekiness, the self-deprecating, and then the seriousness, and not to mention the absolute raw talent. I mean, you know, with the dancers, I mean, he's got 100%, you know, I always tell people when 100% the cream of the crop, like if you want A+, this is A+.
Yeah.
You know, we've brought in some musicians in their crews before that, you know, it's like, oh, this sound guy is this and this lighting guy, you know, they screwed this up or they didn't, hang this one right. And, you know, that happens inevitably with some artists. But when we came in, when Robbie came in, when his crew, and he's coming in a couple weeks too for his next run, it was like, these guys are professionals of professionals. I mean, they're
dialed.
Yeah, they're a different level.
Yeah.
There's no feedback, no sound, I mean, they are dialed in. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to toss out a couple of things here. As I was doing research, 2018 to 2019, I think it was November of 18 through October of 19, 120,000 tickets sold.
Yep.
Over $16.2 million grossing, which is insane for, you think about small venues, and I've worked in the audio space for years doing concerts, and those are big numbers for a space this size.
Yeah, they are. And you know, it's like I said before, it's a combination of a couple of things. One, patting ourselves, AEG, on the back and bringing in musicians and acts, comedy acts, that can garner that ticket price is number one. And number two, on the flip side, you can garner that ticket price.
Yeah.
Because the association with the luxury and the quality and the upscale sophistication of Wynn Resorts.
Yeah.
You know, for better or for worse, you expect to pay more when you walk into Wynn.
Right.
Because everything's nicer. And you expect it to be nicer, and it is.
Yeah.
And you expect to pay more. So when you say you're going to go to a show at the Wynn and you're paying $135 on average for a ticket, well, all right, sounds about right. Sounds about right to me, because you're going to go for a nice meal that's second to none. And really, you know, it's something that makes sense. And you know, one of the other things that's interesting too, that a lot of times, you know, my job a lot is a sales job, and I have to sell this, especially bringing a bigger artist into a smaller venue.
Yeah.
You know, cause we're not going to pay them per show what they would make in an arena.
Right.
Just doesn't work out. So there's a sales job to this. And, you know, part of the sales job is one, you're going to, you know, obviously give your fans something they haven't experienced before, but two, you're associating with the Wynn Resort and with the luxury and you know, their five-star, you know, their five-star rating and their reputation for being the most hospitable resort company in the world. And you're going to be taken care of. So they know they're going to be taken care of. They're going to be put in a nice suite. They're going to be treated great. They're going to eat at some of the finest restaurants, if they're foodies, and a lot of them are, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Finest restaurants in the world, and just really enjoy themselves more than they would at another place.
Yeah.
And that's part of my sales job to do that. And then on, you know, for some of these stand-up comedians as well, you know, I think the starting to get people wanting to come into the room because they want to associate with the Wynn.
Yeah.
Because that elevates their brand as well. Where the Wynn is, you know, making sure that it fits their brand. On the flip side, some musicians and comedians, you know, want to come in because they want their brand to be associated with the Wynn.
Absolutely. And
it's a nice little relationship there that I try to broker.
Absolutely. I'm going to pivot here a little bit and ask a couple personal questions that aren't so much about the win, but they tie back. First one being, for you, what's the dream guest that you want to book for one of your events?
Dream act that I would love to. Well, not necessarily the win, or we're talking at the win.
Wherever you want. I'll leave it open to you.
Well, unfortunately, Rush was always one of my ones where I always wanted to bring in and do a Rush show. Bobby Reynolds, who runs our office here, certainly has done that. I have not, a current one, I got to tell you, I'm a huge fan of Green Day.
Yeah.
Love Green Day.
Yeah.
And I think those guys are amazing. Just now realized that Billy Joe Armstrong is my age, which is kind of cool. And I'm thinking, when I was listening to them in college, he was my age. And, I really love their music. I like the creativity. I love the new stuff they're bringing out that's a little different. And I've been to a couple of their shows before, and it's just nothing but just high energy, punchy in your face fun.
Yeah.
Power pop fun. And I love it. Power pop punk fun. and I love it. Would they fit in the win? Maybe not, but I tell you what, I would certainly go to bat if they want to do some stripped down, acoustic, something, in there at the win, because it would work. It would certainly work.
Now, you've had an interesting career. You started working in the world of baseball, moved into software business. That led you to working at the Wynn. You even started out rock and roll wine and amplified wines on your own stuff. So you're doing some cool stuff outside of just booking at the Wynn. Talk to us a little bit about that evolution for yourself, finding the space where you just go, I love doing this, because you can tell that you love what you're doing.
I do it. I love live music. I didn't know I did. I played baseball in college in North Carolina. And then after that, I worked in professional baseball for a few years for the Montreal Expos down in Florida when there was a Montreal Expos. I'm aging myself right now for sure. It was about around that. I remember I read Bill Gates' book, The Road Ahead, and was like, man, I got to get into this .com thing or this internet thing. Like, it was 97 or something like that. And I had a buddy from Lexington, Kentucky, and I had a buddy in Kentucky that just joined this business to business e-commerce company. It was based here in Las Vegas. And so that was, that's what got me. I left baseball, started working out of Florida there, and then ended up coming out here to Las Vegas in 2000. Had to do a recruiting trip for my wife because she's like, we're not moving to Las Vegas. Absolutely not. I'm like, well, it's not just the strip. There's more to it than the strip. There's jogging trails. I was like the Vegas Chamber of Commerce there for a little bit. So I remember literally a recruiting trip, picked her up from the airport, skipped the strip, went out to Mount Charleston. We stayed at a cabin up there, then went out in the suburbs in Summerlin where we live now and showed her some houses out there and how it wasn't, Red Rock National Park. And it's like, okay, all right. She was more open to the idea. But anyway, we came out here and I worked for that company for another 3 years. And we were one of these high flying companies called Purchase Pro.
Okay.
One of these high flying.com companies that went on NASDAQ. And we had our day, and then we shot up, and then, just as fast shot way down.
Yeah.
And it was at that point where I think the company was being bought, acquired by another company out of California. And I'm like, I'm not moving to California. I had always liked wine. My wife and I had always gone up to wine country. My father's a big wine aficionado. And I'd always liked wine. And I said, I'm going to open up a wine bar. When we go to Napa, nothing sounds better to me or more fun to me than sitting around and, sitting around drinking wine and having somebody that knows how to pour you wine, and that hospitality was second to none. I said, I'm going to create a wine bar that replicates that wine country tasting experience. And so a buddy of mine that worked with software with me, didn't know anything about wine, but he was starting to get into commercial real estate and looking for places. And eventually that led to this company called Rock and Roll Wine. So I started doing wine tastings around my dining room table.
Wow.
And I wanted to study, I'm looking for a place for a wine bar. I want to get my sommelier certificate. So I want to study. And I said, all right, well, I'm just going to, you know, invite some people. I'll study. I'll invite some people around the table every Tuesday. We'll tell them about the wines. And it'll force me to study. You know, we'll do New Zealand wines this week, French wines next week, blah, blah, blah. And what happened, we invited, you know, I had about 12 people the first Tuesday, and I'd have about eight wines, four whites, four reds. And in between wines, you know, I'm one of these guys that is uncomfortable with silence. And so one of these in between wines, I would blare the music, and it wasn't jazz music. It wasn't, you know, some sort of soft, easy listening music. It was Everclear.
Yeah.
And, one of my favorite bands at the time. And so, you know, it created this huge energy and this huge, this really sense of lack of pretension that was usually associated with wine tastings.
Yeah.
And people just loved it. And they asked questions. I had stupid rules, like no questions, a dumb question, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And that really evolved. The next week, there were 35 people that want to come to it.
Wow.
And so we did that, you know, for 17 weeks. And all of a sudden, I looked at my buddy and I'm like, hey, we may have something here as far as a business. And we're like, well, what is different? What do we like about it? And it was the music.
Yeah.
So we started the company called Rock and Roll Wine, which evolved into live music and wine tasting events, which evolved into the Wine Amplified Festival, which we did for 10 years or
wow.
10 years. And we brought in everybody from Blink 182. The first one was Everclear, and we were pitching the idea to Mandalay Bay to bring in Everclear. I said, we've talked about Everclear. I've always played Everclear. Why don't we just bring in Everclear?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and we used to bring in acoustic musicians that covered all these songs. Why are we bringing in acoustic people to cover the songs? Let's just bring the band in.
Yeah.
And so that's what we did. And we did this Wine Amplified Festival for 10 years. Unfortunately, the last year we did it, we had it with Blink 182, Violent Femmes, I think Panic at the Disco. It was a 2-day festival. It was at the lot that Route 91 lot across from the Luxor and Mandalay Bay, and unfortunately, obviously, we all know the tragedy that occurred October 1 there. So, but it was through that, you know, through those years booking those bands, I would reach out to the agents booking the bands for our wine tasting events.
Yeah.
And I would always call Bobby Reynolds, who here in Las Vegas runs our office, and I would just ask him, hey, how much did you pay this band? Or what do you think this band's worth? Do you think this band will sell tickets? Blah, blah. And I'm always asking these questions. And then a couple of years ago, he said, hey, man, this is a random question, but would you ever be interested in coming on board and helping us book shows?
Oh, fine.
And I'm like, oh, man, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That would be the best. And so that's the evolution of how I started here. I know it's a little long-winded on the wine part, but hope you bared with me.
Loved it. Loved it. We're going to take a break right here. When we come back, we're going to wrap up with Chris Hammond. Hey there, it's Mike. If you're like most small business owners, you may struggle with getting everything you need done in the day. And a lot of times, one of the things you're looking for is great graphic design, maybe a new logo, flyers, brochures, business cards, even a new website or email campaign designed for you. You can't fit it into your day, so you need some help. Our friends over at Floxia are there to help you. So whether you need a new video, some graphic design, the perfect copy, or a new website, Floxy's there to help you. And as a listener of JumbleThink, they're going to give you 10% off your first month with a 14-day money-back guarantee. All you have to do is head on over to floxy.com/JumbleThink. That's Floxy, FLOCKSY.com/JumbleThink to get 10% off your first month. So head on over and get your perfect project completed for you. Now let's rejoin our conversation with today's guest, Chris Hammond. We are back with Chris Hammond. All right, before we get going, this will all be in the episode notes, but what's the best way to find out the shows that are coming up at Encore Theater at Wynn Las Vegas?
Yeah, it's the Wynn Las Vegas website, and okay. I believe it's WynnResorts.com. But all the current shows will be up there at Wynn. You can also go to Ticketmaster and type in Encore Theater, and it'll show all the shows being listed and on sale at Encore Theater. But the best way is go to the Wynn website.
Nice. And we'll have all that links, the links in the episode notes, so it's real easy to find. All right, rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
As a child, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Baseball player, professional baseball player.
What is one tip you'd give someone with a big idea and dream and they don't know where to start?
Patience. Patience.
What is one change you'd like to see in the world?
Let's see. Well, I mean, I think it's, I don't mean to sound too, so current, but, people more appreciative and understanding of others' opinions.
Yeah. What do you want your legacy to be?
Good father. That's one. And somebody that was fair, honest, and, quite frankly, I somebody that created, I want to be known as an idea guy and somebody that created something that wasn't there, to begin with and, was successful.
Where do you find inspiration?
Really others. I look at, peers. I look at, people that how they conduct themselves, with others. One of the things my father, he's retired now, but was a sportscaster for NBC Sports. And one of the things I always liked about him is when I was younger and I'd walk around with him is every cameraman, he called him by their first name. And it's just all about respect. And it's not that hard to be nice.
Yeah.
It's not, and nice is, it's not that hard to be respectful. Yeah. I'm one of these guys that hates when you open a door for somebody and they just walk in and don't say thank you.
Yeah.
To me that I just can't understand it. And it's not that hard. But one of the things that, like I said, is I look up to my dad because I feel like he was a sportscaster and they were the cameraman. He could have just walked by them and with some aloof, but he greeted them, looked them in the eye by their name. One of the things I try to do that I'm not so good at sometimes. And, I thought, that's the trait that truly makes it. And that's why really people respect him and really like him and look up to him. It's because of that. So I think that inspires me.
What is one book you think every dreamer should read?
I know it's dated, but I mean, the one that got me going and motivated was The Road Ahead by Bill Gates. I mean, that was something that was so profound in my time. It's not something that's as current now, obviously. If I had to think about one of the books, I mean, I'm one of these guys that usually reads these these books that are more about case studies. Yeah, they're like a combination of cases. I mean, the Howard Schultz book about Starbucks is great. I love entrepreneurial books that are nonfiction entrepreneurial books. Anything like that is something that inspires me that really gives you ideas on how to create something new.
What is one trend you're currently excited about?
Comedy.
Nice.
And in general. Yeah. I mean, with the advent of Netflix and streaming services, I mean, comedy is about as hot right now as it's ever been.
Yeah. Yeah. What is one habit you find helpful in your life?
Organization.
Okay.
That's it. I'm a list maker for better or for worse. I'm a list maker. It gives me some solace when I start to worry that I'm going to forget something. It's like, all right, let me just look at that piece of paper because I know I wrote it down.
Yeah. What is one thing you wish you would have known when you first started out?
This is I know when I, we're done here, I'm going to think of, oh man, I should have, that's the one. When I first started out, what I should have known, let me think. Okay. It would be, it's something I'm trying to think even back to, summer. I don't think it's something I should have known, but I think I would have in college more honed myself towards something that I felt like I wanted to do. If I'd known I wanted to be in the entertainment industry, because it truly booking show, I mean, I love what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I think I could have gotten a much earlier start and gotten the experience, much more so than I have already.
Yeah.
Out of the gate there. And, I wish I would have had somebody or some sort of, peer or, upperclassman or somebody that I looked up to, somebody, a teammate on the baseball team that was, booking shows or something that would have gotten me excited then.
Yeah. If you weren't doing what you're doing today, what do you think you'd be doing?
drinking wine and making wine. I mean, nice. I would be, yeah, I'd be, you know, making wine and probably trying to, you know, create some sort of winery.
Yeah.
And whether in Nevada or in California.
Our final rapid fire question. What is one dream you're still wanting to fulfill in your own life?
I don't set a particular, you know, I'm one of those guys that every day when I wake up, I'm at zero for better or for worse. So obviously I have goals where I want to be. I want to grow in this company. I want to create, this AEG Las Vegas office, even more so than it already is, just continue to build on it with, as I said earlier, things that are new, you know, things that are, creative, things that, you know, something that I can say to myself, you know, because I'm pretty hard on myself, and I can say to myself, hey, you know, this was your idea. You know, this is not just you taking somebody else's idea and doing it. So, and that kind of bodes into this speaker series, something that ideation is important to me.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that, you know, I challenge myself on every day on, all right, how am I differentiating? How am I making something that exists better or creating something that doesn't exist?
Yeah.
And making that successful.
So we wrap up. What is your final thought for all of us today?
My final thought is to, one, be kind to people, respect people. I mean, you know, you just see it every day. I mean, and you see it in this industry too, you know, that there's some people that think they have to scream and yell, you know, because that's what you're supposed to do. When it's like, listen, if we have a disagreement, let's talk about our disagreement.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we can be firm and we can get angry, certainly, but at the core of it, you got to treat people with respect. And, you know, that's one thing that I don't see a lot, whether it's online and social media, whether it's anything, that I just wish people would, you know, just take a step back and be objective for a bit. Super, that's what I think.
Super cool. Chris, thanks so much for taking time out, giving us some insights on what's going on in your world. And we wish you the best in everything that you're doing.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you having me, Michael. You know, it's the first time I've ever had rapid fire questions. So I hope I did okay.
You did great. You did great. Thanks again.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Once again, we want to thank Chris Hammond for being on the show. They're doing really cool stuff at the Encore Theater at Wynn Las Vegas. If you are headed to Vegas, or if you're looking for a really cool getaway, maybe for a weekend, and you want to catch a cool show, this is the venue to check out. You can find links to what they're doing at the Encore Theater at the Wynn Las Vegas by heading on over to jumblethink.com or checking out the episode notes wherever you are listening. We also want to thank our friends over at Floxy for sponsoring today's show. Floxy is your monthly subscription to incredible graphic design, amazing website development, and powerful video editing for your business or personal needs. You can check them out by heading on over to Floxy, FLOCKSY.com/JumbleThink. And as a listener of JumbleThink, they're going to give you 10% off your first month. So head on over, FLOCKSY.com/JumbleThink to learn more. Now, here's my takeaway for you today. You could look at the Wynn Las Vegas Encore Theater and say they don't have the scale, the size of some of the other venues or arenas across the country. And you could say, how could they ever succeed? How could they ever create a successful model? Instead of looking at others and saying, well, we've got to play the game of the big boys, they said, let's create a new model. Let's create a new method to doing this. And in doing that, they became a major player in a market that didn't see them coming. You may have dreams and ideas and look at other people and say, well, how could I ever compete with them? They're too big. They are too established. They are too successful for me to take them on. If you take the lesson from the Encore Theater, it's a simple lesson. Play your game. Play the way that works for you and create the success that you can. So it's your turn to get out there, to dream big, and to change the world around you.
Les mères de famille, les enfants peuvent également prendre un moment revitalisant dans quelques mois lorsque vous aurez bien saisi la technique et que vous serez maître de votre corps, vous pourrez vous décontracter même en travaillant.